Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene Pearl, and I'm Danny, and we're all up on some part two of You Need Glucose, because we did part one last time, and it was so good.
And you're out of here.
And Dan, yeah, that was the special moment of Dan in this podcast, because he's actually about to put his motorcycle helmet on and exit.
I'm just here for the intro. They actually flew me out. And they said, you know, we're doing
California,
a podcast, and I know you don't have time for the entire thing, as busy as you are,
as famous as you are.
But could we just get an intro? And I was like, well, you got all expenses paid plus the fee, the sitting fee.
And make sure there's certain like little snacks on the side table for
in
when
the green
room.
I had to have my baby grapes and your
Topo Chico.
Oh, and a Topo.
Chilled to the perfect temperature.
Yeah. In fact, they took it from the fridge, placed in the freezer for only 30 minutes so it wouldn't fully freeze.
In fact, he ain't got nothing and he's just here at the last of the end one, and he just sent a quick intro and hey.
Love you, bye.
Exiting. Very excited. Serena and I bring in a lot to you, so get your notepads out and we are going to study Why We Need Glucose Part 2. Wrap up Part 1, Serene, for those who missed or for those who waited a week.
Just wrapping up Part 1, you really need to go listen. But, you know, we need glucose for so many reasons. We need glucose because it's our preferred fuel. We need glucose because if we take away our preferred fuel from our body senses danger. Women don't like their body in danger. I mean, it's not a mental thing. It's a physical thing. Whether you can think all day that your body doesn't care.
Yeah.
It cares and it senses danger when you strip it from carbohydrates. Carbohydrates, I'm not talking about the non-starchy, you know, broccolis. I'm talking about the carbohydrates that actually rise insulin a little bit in your body, because that allows leptin to speak in your body. And when leptin speaks in your body, it says, you can relax because there is enough juices, there's enough energy flowing, and you can do your womanly thing and thrive.
Yes. It says, I won't lower your metabolic set point.
Yes.
Which is when you can barely eat anything and you still retain your fat.
Exactly.
So I want to cover today glucose versus fructose.
But can I also just start with a little bit of
base? Serene's going to start, yeah.
A little bit of like entering in with just some nice soft studies before you get to the heavy like.
And I do think last week, you know, you and I just went for it and we just did it off the top of our heads. I don't think we really for new people to Trim Healthy Mama, what is glucose? Glucose is the simple fuel, this fuel of carbohydrates that our body uses to burn for energy. Mm-hmm. The three macronutrients are
glucose,
fats and protein. Now, it is a given we are not throwing away fats. Fats are our S meals and they still have a prime place. But for those of you this season who might be tempted to throw away your E-meals because of all the, you know, the wonderful holiday meals you're also having, we're saying not this year.
Yeah.
And we're saying not in your future either.
And maybe you're not even tempted. Maybe that's just what you do in the holiday season. It's just all heavy and rich and heavy and rich and heavy and rich. We're saying throw in some gentle carbohydrate, energizing, leptin refueling meals. Astonishing against society's dogma, studies conducted by scientists at the University of Colorado Health Sciences Center for Human Nutrition in Denver, along with a team of international researchers, found that unrefined carbohydrates, we're talking the gentle carbs that we talk about in the Trim Healthy Mama Plan, they were the superheroes of a trim body. Instead of being the cause of bloat, brain fog, and extra tires around the middles, these healthy carbohydrates, they shrink fat.
Mm.
They boost fat burning. They preserve muscle mass, prevent diabetes, lower cholesterol and triglycerides, and keep you satiated. Study after study conducted at respected universities and research reveal slow burning, gentle carbs help you eat less, burn more calories, lower stress levels, and raise energy levels. If you want a slim, svelte, and energized body, then you got to get those gentle carbohydrates running in your diet and not just here, there, in a little small corner.
Can I interject the family story?
Yes.
What really changed one of my ideas about the importance for carbs on this Trim Healthy journey. I'd always had some carbs because I knew I needed them, but I just didn't understand their power until I saw it manifest in my family's life.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And it made me study this. Seeing this, what happened made me go and study this because I couldn't understand it. It went against what I believed.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Meadow had to go live a year in Japan, and she went with her husband. They both left and they were at, they were pretty trim. You would call them goal weight.
Mm-hmm.
They came back a year later, super trim. So I thought, well, hold on, what's going on here? You know, her husband had lost like, and he's a big guy. He'd lost like maybe 30, he's 6'6". So he'd lost like maybe 20 something pounds. He was just lean. And my daughter Meadow, she was pregnant, but she came back lean, you know? And I'm like, what's going on here? And I kept asking him, what did you eat? And she's like, Mom, we had to eat a lot of rice. I'm like, but hold on, what else? I knew rice couldn't have done it. What else did you eat? Well, yeah, rice. We had some fresh fruits, Mom, but we couldn't eat as much of the S meals like we usually do. And in fact, she had lots of crossovers. Well, Mom, I'd say more. Our meals were more E or on the light crossovers, Mom, most of the time. We had rice. It's very inexpensive there. We could get brown when we could, but even sometimes we ate white rice, Mom. I'm just telling you the truth. But I'm just being honest. We ate more carbs, Mom. Mm-hmm. And I just floored me. I'm like, what is going on here? Carbs and they lost weight. How does that work? I don't know. And carbs are important, but surely they don't cause this. And, I just studying more and more, and I realized, no, what you're saying, Serene, carbs raise your metabolic set point.
They do.
So you burn fuel better because your body always knows it has the fuel it needs. And it's all about how we burn.
Do you know what's so funny? Another story about Meadow. You know, she got healed of PCOS amazingly through God, I believe. Mm-hmm. But also through falling in love too. Yeah. I don't know, but she fell in love, right?
Yeah.
And she used to be very strict, you know, on her diet, but she used to wake up to more like fried eggs, which is nothing wrong with that.
No.
But she fell in love and kind of forgot about dealing with her diet so much. And she just popped a couple of pieces of Ezekiel toast.
She always did Ezekiel in the morning.
She was just thinking about her guy and not about her diet.
Yeah.
Well, she ate more carbs and
she dropped weight then too. It's so funny for her. She ups her carbs, she drops the weight.
A recent multi-center study found that the slimmest people were the ones who ate the most slow-burning carbs and the chubbiest were the ones who ate the least.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle carbs contain nutrients that act as powerful appetite suppressants. They are often rich in resistant starch, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But this resistant starch triggers a sensation of fullness in your brain as well as your belly.
I eat carbs. Because I'm a volume eater, I do get satiated, but I feel like I'm still good and hungry 3 hours later, though.
Oh, no, but they're not talking about that. I don't think so. It's like it doesn't trigger that, like the... The constant.
The binge-a-rooney.
Yes, the binge-a-rooney. No, exactly. Because these wonderful carbs, they raise satiety hormones.
Yeah, hormones, yeah.
In the brain that blunts hunger and revs the metabolism, they also release fullness hormones in the intestines.
That's interesting.
They make your cells more insulin sensitive.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
One thing I want to go into now, if this is a good time,
please.
Serene.
Yes.
As we said last party, and I hope you go back and listen to it, there are two ways that we know of right now. We only thought there was one way to get insulin resistant.
Yes.
Which was too much devitalized carbs and sugar in your body because your cells get so stuffed with it, they're too full, they cannot accept more, so they resist insulin.
Right.
With its boatloads of blood sugar. They say, no, I'm too full, okay? Insulin resistance happens, leads to high blood sugar, leads to diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've found another way.
Yeah.
If you don't eat enough carbs, your muscle cells will sacrifice themselves and say, no, whatever glucose you have, send to the brain. I don't want your insulin. I will keep my brain alive.
And that happens also in pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because the body naturally keeps it around in the bloodstream for the baby.
Yeah. So your smart body will sacrifice your metabolic set point And you will become insulin resistant two ways, either sugar or too low carb. So there's that beautiful in between. And that's why people—
just to clear up, I wasn't talking about pregnancy giving you insulin resistance. I'm talking about low carb eating during pregnancy.
Yes, right. So I want to differentiate between carbs, okay? So sugar, we know that sugar is incredibly bad for us. It causes inflammation. It raises blood sugar in the skyrocketing manner, not just a nice slow raise like whole good gentle carbs. But here's part of sugar's problem. It is made up of two things. Mm-hmm. It is made up of fructose and sucrose. Mm-hmm. It's half and half. It's so interesting because fructose, they have found, when it's contained in fruit, it's small amounts in fruit. And our bodies thrive on fruits.
It's buffered by the fiber.
It's buffered by the fiber and all the water. It's the water content. Mm-hmm. And so you assimilate the minerals and that little bit of fructose is just right. Yeah. Gives you a nice, small raise of blood sugar unless you're eating lots of dates or dried food or dried fruit or something. Then that does have a lot of fructose. Dates have a lot of fructose. That's why if you read date sugar, stay away.
Yeah.
Because that's just fructose.
I shouldn't say the names. Fructose. Certain energy bars that are just
fructose
squished
is dates. Actually highly associated with weight gain. And with insulin resistance, but glucose is not. Do you know that there was a study that came out June 1st, 2015, and it matched calorie for calorie with the simple sugar, glucose, and fructose, and that found that fructose causes significant weight gain, physical inactivity, and body fat deposition. And because of the addition of high fructose corn syrup, but not just that, sugar itself, it's half fructose, and that's a lot. And it's in processed foods that fructose accounts for almost 10% of the daily caloric intake of most people.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? That is why. So glucose, when you eat regular good healthy carbs, like you eat your oatmeal, you eat your beans, you eat a good healthy bread, you eat a little bit of fruit.
Yes.
Sweet potatoes, even golden potatoes, white potatoes if your blood sugar can handle it. It's all glucose.
Yes.
It turns to glucose. Mm. But it's when you isolate fructose and you're eating sugar that is isolated fructose or you do high fructose corn syrup, that is what's causing you weight gain. That is what's causing you insulin resistance. And that is what is defeating your body.
It's like fats have finally, the light bulbs have turned on. Healthy. There's healthy fats like avocados and coconut oil and grass-fed butter. There's healthy fats and the fat from grass-fed piece of steak. And then there's the trans fats and the hydrogenated soybean oil and all of that stuff. And people have realized there's a difference. Mm. The light bulbs have gone on. And what I want to do, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to turn the light bulbs on that don't throw out your lentils and your sweet potatoes and your oatmeal and all those things that Pearl said just because there's sugar and corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup out there. They're two different worlds, baby cakes.
They are. And one is very fat promoting and one is very fat loss promoting. And you think, well, carbs promote fat gain. Good carbs promote fat loss. Can we say it again?
Yes.
Good carbs promote fat loss.
Gentle carbs, and especially those that are rich sources of resistant starch like your beans and your lentils, they keep blood sugar beautifully balanced. Diabetes is prevented by these healthy and scrumptious carbs. Research at the Beltsville Human Nutrition Center at the USDA produced a study that showed participants who ate a diet rich in slow-burning carbs, rich in resistant starch, were successful in lowering their post-meal blood sugar and insulin response by a whopping 38%.
Isn't that incredible?
You're lowering your post-meal insulin response by eating healthy carbs.
Do you know that carbs heal insulin resistance?
Yes, they do.
The good carbs, isn't that incredible? Mm-hmm. Now, sure, when you first come from a standard American diet, right, and you have insulin resistance, you probably do, well, you think, man, I'm going to do S meals and lower these terrible carbs. I'm going off sugar. So then, and maybe even if you did S meals or you did keto for a while, you're going to see better blood sugar numbers on paper. That's going to happen. But you can actually do a similar thing, if not even better, by including your e-meals. And it's for the long term, where you don't just see better blood sugar numbers and it's temporary because you don't have enough, you're lowering your blood sugar altogether. Yeah. But you actually want to go in and heal the problem. And that's what carbs do.
And can I I love that. And can I talk to that thing about, well, you know, I felt great. My blood sugars look better when I got on keto. Or, you know, I want to address that right now, because a lot of people, even with that female athlete triad mm-hmm. syndrome, they first start working out. They mm-hmm. first start getting on some kind of diet. Mm-hmm. They feel great. They feel on top of the world. Their cycles are running perfectly. They're sleeping perfectly. They feel like thriving, perfectly mm-hmm. running machines. It doesn't happen straight away.
No, it doesn't.
It's the long-term effect of these things. You know, your body can handle stuff for a while, and people are like, wow, my body thrives on this. This is great. And when things go wrong, they're like, well, it can't be this thing, because my body thrived on that thing.
Yeah.
My body thrived on keto. I finally got my cycle back in line on keto. Mm-hmm. No, things can turn to a little healthier uptake when you get off your standard American diet.
When you get off that sugar and fructose, right. High fructose.
But
yeah.
Long term on anything extreme is going to do damage.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Back to the blood sugar and insulin thing, because they're actually two different measurements.
Yes, they
are. And you can actually have low blood sugar. Maybe you're staying away from carbs, or maybe your blood sugar is just not spiking. But if your insulin is high from various things, maybe it is from, you know, wacky hormones, or maybe you don't have enough carbs in your diet, and then your hormones are becoming, and your body's becoming insulin resistant that way because it's sacrificing for your brain, you can still have a major weight metabolic issue. You can be gaining weight and you don't know why. And you're like, but all of my A1C is pretty good. I don't understand. I don't eat barely any carbs. I don't understand. But you see, insulin is still a problem because mm-hmm. your cells are not responsive and open to it. And if you've got too much insulin, you are gaining fat no matter what.
Yes.
So that's why carbs can heal.
They can
heal. But you've got to choose your right carbs.
Yeah. And I want to talk about some of those right carbs.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about resistant starch here on this particular part two. Resistant starch from beans and lentils, they release fatty acids into your bloodstream during digestion that encourage fat burning, particularly abdominal fat burning.
And it turns into butyric acid, doesn't it?
And these same fatty acids preserve your muscle mass, and more muscle burns calories and stokes the furnace of the metabolism.
Yeah.
So we love us some of these gentle carbs.
Yeah.
We love resistant starch. So Pearl, go through the list of the resistant starch carbs, so that all gentle carbs are great. We need them all. But the ones that are resistant starch, they're heroes too.
Yes. Well, of course, you've got your beans are your major ones. Beans and lentils.
Yes.
And actually, if you are like, let's say a type 2 diabetic, type 1 diabetic, or you're very sensitive to carbs, and I haven't even looked into this. This just came in one of our coaches. Her name is Mary. What is her name? Oh, I wish I could remember her name, Mary. Anyway, she's a type 1 diabetic, but she said, oh, I just used these black lentils yesterday.
Yeah.
And they give such a really, really gentlest of blood sugar rise out of all the lentils.
It's
so I've never tried black lentils. Have you, Serene? Versus the brown.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we've got all the resistant starches are the lentils and the beans, but we've also
cold potatoes, right?
Yes, we've also got the tubers. Okay, so anytime you put a potato, you cook it and then put it in the fridge, and I've got something to say about the way you cook it too, and it cools, it adds about 10% more resistant starch.
Cooled rice too, right?
Rice does the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you rinse your rice first and get the starches out of it and then cook it and then put it in the fridge, the same thing. I do want to talk about potatoes. Sweet potatoes, white potatoes, golden potatoes, the way you cook them can be so much more gentle on your blood sugar too.
Yeah.
Anytime you bake something, I bake them all the time, my blood sugar can handle it. But if you have testy blood sugar, steam or boil.
Yeah.
A steam or boiled white potato
is
actually less GI than a baked sweet potato. Did you know that?
Steam or boil.
Very
what if you mash it after steaming?
Beautiful.
Great. And you can make cold potato salad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even if you reheat these potatoes after cooling, you're still having that resistant starch.
I love that. Research trying to fatten up rats found that resistant starch-packed meals were not the answer, as they kept muscle around and kept the rats too lean. Their fodder designed to be low in the resistant starch, allowed the rats to gain fat and lose muscle mass. And those same scientists Researching these rats noticed that the diet rich in resistant starch increased fat-burning enzymes and decreased the activity of fat-storing enzymes.
Yeah. Isn't that so interesting? Oh,
yes. You know what? I told Popsy here that I wasn't going to bring any scriptures. But can I bring some?
Well, not that Popsy told you not to.
No, she didn't tell me not to. She wanted them, actually.
Oh,
she goes,
oh really?
Oh, we're going to do some meat and potatoes, some good old scrippies.
Scrippies.
And I said, no, I just got some practical science parties today. She goes, oh, I think she was looking forward to it. but listen.
Now
listen,
that she's an old married lady.
Now, while you're looking up more of your stuff, I just want to bring some things. Do I want to bring all of their references? It'll be quicker if I could just spout it all out.
Just spout it. Don't bring all of
them.
Then
God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit, and after their kind with seed in them. And it was so, I'll just say that was Genesis 1:11. Leviticus, I won't say the reference. Then the land will yield its produce so that you can eat your fill and live securely on it. Zechariah, for there will be peace for the seed. The vine will yield its fruit. The land will yield its produce and the heavens will give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. I'm just throwing out scriptures that talk about grain and talk about fruit and talk about carbs, okay? Just so you know that you can't find keto in the Bible. Then he will give you rain for the seed, which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. A lot of, trendy diet dogma these days say, oh, you know, all this cultivation and all the grain and everything, that's not what healthy, and, you know, it came later and blah, blah, blah. I'm just reading from the ancient scriptures here. Mm-hmm. In Isaiah 36:17, I feel bad not giving the references. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain. Land of new wine, land of bread and vineyards.
I love it. I like
Psalm
that land.
Psalm 72:16.
It's
May there
land.
Be abundance of grain in the earth on top of the mountains. Its fruit will wave like the cedars of Lebanon. Psalm 67:6. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. Pearl, interrupt. So just whenever you're ready, just go. I'm just doing this for the
intro.
No,
you keep going because I...
Psalm 85:12. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good. And our land will yield its produce. All produce is plant stuff, people.
Yeah.
And most plant stuff is carbs.
Yeah.
It is carbs. It's all carbs. It's
well,
just some
all
is more
carbohydrates
than others.
Are from the earth.
Yeah.
But some are starchy and some are non-starchy.
Right. And this basically is talking, it's talking about all of it, but it's heralding a lot of the stuff like the vineyards and the grain and the Psalm 107:37. And sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Isaiah 9:3, they will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest. Deuteronomy 33:28, so Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew.
Now, I will butt in here. Now, yes. You know, for new peeps in the room, we're just sort of assuming that all of you know how to eat carbs without gaining weight.
Right.
You know, because if you are going to say or get all excited about all these carbs Serena Woo-hoo! And I are talking about and grains and fruit and then go pile a big lard of fat with them.
Put your grass-fed butter on and put all of that,
then there can be some weight gain.
Oh, we've experienced that too because we did that just celebrate the scriptures stuff.
Yeah, we did celebrate that. Now, if we were walking all day like they did or if we, you know, there are many reasons.
Yeah, but they didn't have a Walmart to go and get seven tubs of butter, right?
No.
7 pounds. They probably had their little goat in the backyard and they got what they got.
Yeah, they didn't have all the access to the opulence of fats and stuff that we do. We can just rip it all into it, right?
And I think fats are super healthy and there's lots of scriptures about the olive oil and that stuff.
But all I'm saying is we do eat these carbs and if we want to use them to lose weight, we do keep the carb meals lean and they're beautiful lean.
Yes.
They are. There's so many wonderful ways to enjoy them. Oh my goodness.
And that's why we never give up on our S meals because we need fats too.
Yeah.
And so we throw in those superfood fats in our diet on the S meals.
I'm buying I'm on a bit of a roll because I'm just reading all the latest books out there, the diet books, to see if there's anything I can learn. And I do learn a few things here and there. But more and more I'm reading about people are realizing, that doesn't work. Like let's say with keto or, you know, maybe intermittent fasting, there's some backlash, right? Yeah. And a lot of it, what they're coming to say now is they're like, you know what? We need metabolic flexibility. It's a new term.
Yes.
And I'm reading this about metabolic flexibility, and they're like, guys, we actually have to burn both carbs and fat. And I'm like, oh my goodness, duh. Serena and I wrote about this 10 years ago in our book, Kutcher and Healthy Mama, and now it's like a new diet phrase. It's called metabolic flexibility. I promise you, I bet there's going to be like the metabolic flexible diet, the MF diet out there soon, because everyone's writing about it because of all of this ends after a few years. It will take time, but it ends in backlash for the body.
Yes, it does.
And so they're like, okay, well, we do need carbs after all.
Right.
Oh,
we do need fats after all. Yeah.
So how can we include both?
And we're heralding the carbs on this program because fats have been released out of jail.
Yeah.
You know, they were villains.
Yeah, they
were.
Wrongfully
so. For the healthy part of them. But they've been released now. People are understanding. But you know, carbs are still in jail.
Yeah.
There might be a few people say, you know, there's the healthy kind of, but for the most part, carbs are in jail.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it'll probably cycle around again. And then the total high carb, hate the fat things will come around again.
Yeah.
Things cycle.
Yes. Give us today our daily bread.
Yeah. You know?
I'm just reading it while you were looking for your studies, Pearl, Deuteronomy 8:79.
Well, my internet went out, so I can't get them
anymore. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Pearl, what does that land look like?
A land with milk and honey, baby.
A land of brooks, of water. That's another scripture. Of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley. And that wheat would have been spelt in Kamut, the ancient grains. Yes, those are the ancient wheats. Of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land where you will eat food without scarcity. This for your intermittent fasters.
Well, you know what I did? I went and looked because I'm doing this chapter on fasting in my book. And please don't hate me, those of you that like to do some fasting. You know, we can, as I said, we can still be friends. I'm just looking into all the pros and cons about it right now. And all that to say, Serene, what did you say? Because I was going somewhere with it.
Oh, yes.
So the amount of times you eat.
Yes,
right?
There's a land without food scarcity.
Yes. And I decided, oh, I'm going to look in the Bible to see if there was, you know, traditionally in cultures, how often did they eat?
Because,
you know, we grew up with our mom who's 80 right now, right? And she does fast now and then for spiritual reasons. But apart from that, she's breakfast, lunch and dinner and a snack.
That's
the way she raised. She's 80. She's healthy. She's trim. And that's the way she was raised by her parents. She passed it along to us. And that's the way we raised our children. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, well, goodness, how long has this been going on? Is this three meals thing a day a new thing, or has it been culturally acceptable? Yeah. Was it back in the Bible?
Yeah.
Did cultures only ever eat one meal a day? You know, what's natural? So I looked back in the Bible and I looked up the noon meal, the first meal, the morning meal, the noon meal, and the evening meal.
And remember you talked to me on the phone about all this?
Yeah.
And I was saying, well, Jesus, when they all came out to talk to him, speak, he thought enough about giving them a midday meal that he had to perform a miracle.
Yeah, fed the 5,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't like, well, we're meant to fast anyway, so let them fast or they go home.
No, the morning meal, the noon meal, the evening meal, all throughout the Bible. It speaks for all three of them multitudes of times. So it was obviously, you know, you had those meals throughout the day. So I thought
Look at babies, look at animals.
Yeah. I mean, and I look back in cultures. And, you know, unless you want to go back to caveman, which I'm not a big caveman person. I'm more of a Adam and Eve and then the rest of us person. Yeah. But, you know, they say, well, they just scavenged. You could only eat one meal a day because they were chased by a tiger and then they hunted and then they lived off that for 3 days.
And then they laid on the limb of a tree like a tiger.
Okay. Anyway, I know poor John here. He's a faster and we're pushing this on him. But
we're not pushing us on him and neither are we pushing Christmas on him.
But all I know is he just eats for him what he knows because he's got some issues that have been sorted out through fasting, actually. But all I'm saying is it is historical and it is biblical and it is natural. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to suddenly say, oh, we weren't created to eat these multiple meals a day. Oh, baloney to that.
Yeah, and baloney to the fact that we weren't meant to eat bread.
Yeah. Now, if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't do well with grains. We all can have sensitivities.
And the modern grains, I agree, Monsanto wheat, you know.
But let's just say you do react to many grains. There's also the non-gluten grains. There's quinoa, there's buckwheat.
Oh, yeah.
You can try some of those.
Aramet,
but you see, there's so many nutrients, the B vitamins, these things in them that we need. And some people say to me, well, I don't do well with emails, Pearl. You know, I have a yeast problem and they flare it. Here's what I want to say about yeast. I think that every single person that's ever been to any natural doctor in the world has come away with a yeast problem.
Yes.
Now, I do believe because we live in this world where there's a lot of sugar in this world and we have had bodies that have consumed a lot of fructose, high fructose and sugar. There could be a set point that's too high for many of us that could go down. But I'm telling you, to go keto or to take away carbs for a while is not the answer because you bring them back.
I wish people could see the hand really movements. Like she's like not, she's like cutting the air with her.
If you bring them back. And obviously you have to bring them back because we've talked about the pitfalls that happen if you don't.
Yes.
All of it comes back. So what you have to do is understand that we all need some candida yeast in our bodies. If you have too much, take some supplements or things. You know, you can go get a stool test, take some probiotics that are specific for your stool problems. Right. Get yourself sorted out, but don't throw away your carbs, baby.
Baby. And you know what I think too? You know, this is getting a little bit on the scrippy side, you know, and those who aren't, you know, believers, just, you had a good run of it, right?
Yeah, you had a good run of it today and last time.
But that's why marriage is so beautiful to me because it's a type, right? It's a type of the bride in Christ. It's a type of the intimacy he wants to have with us. So I think bread is a beautiful thing because Jesus had it as his type. Mm. I am the bread of life. Like, I'm like, wow, he chose that. And it's not the modern bread he's talking about, but he, you know, ancient, beautiful loaf of bread. He chose that as his type this is what I am, you know. And so
sustaining. And what did he choose?
He
chose the fuel of glucose that our bodies needs. It's the need, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. In Matthew 26:26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And I know I'm spiritualizing it here right now, but he chose this natural thing to be the typology. And like marriage, this natural thing, he chose it as a typology. That's why it's so sacred.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering why the bread is so demonized.
Well, because it's been twisted and turned into a white, devitalized thing.
It's so demonized. Yeah. Like it's been turned into something so, it's been taken from its sacred beauty now and so watered down by these things we're meant to accept today as marriage.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, if that's why bread is so, it's so hated these days, because it's something that's meant to be kept as something.
Well, and I think bread is blamed for weight gain and stuff. But, you know, it is. If you're going to go to O'Charlie's and eat their white rolls, you know, you're going to be messed up because it's not bread. And, you know, now we've got no-carb easy bread out. But we've got that option because you can do so many things with it.
You can put cheese in it and loads of butter.
Yes, in fact. And also so many people are sensitive to gluten these days because of the puffed up wheat that's out there.
Right.
Unless you want to go make beautiful bread like Serene does and get the ancient grains, ferment it for 36 hours and stuff, or go to a location where you can buy it. We're going to be selling that at our Blue Butterfly Cafes.
Yeah.
Butterfly bread. Oh my goodness.
Metamorphose your gut.
Yes. And so that's so good for the gut. But so many breads, you know, we allow basic sprouted breads on plan. But even then, so many people are sensitive to them because they use wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not sensitive, you can use them. They're sprouted. So obviously the nutrients go up and the sugars go down.
Yes.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
If you don't want to make bread, Pearl, tell them how yummy soaking some rye overnight and steaming it.
Yeah.
Because I use rye in some of my bread recipes. And I wanted to put some whole rye berries in and try it out in some of my bread. And so I had lots of leftover and I gave it to Pearl. And she ate it as a breakfast cereal. If you don't want to make bread,
yummy.
You can eat these ancient grains simply by just steaming them up.
The rye berries. Delicious.
They blow up like these gelatinous huge balls of yummy.
I felt like I was eating the very essence of the earth, Serene. Mm-hmm. It was so good and it was very satiating because it was in its
whole Did you have it cooled
form.
Or heated up?
Oh, I had it cooled.
Because that would have been high in resistant starch.
Yes.
Super high.
Anything that you cook and put in the fridge and you know what I've been doing lately? And this is totally the opposite to carbs, but I'm just doing this, throwing this out there as a little tip. Salmon. I'm just into not frozen salmon. I mean, I do sometimes use frozen, but when I go to stores, I just buy fresh.
You taught me that, Pearl.
But because I don't want it sitting in the fridge for too long, I've just been cooking it all up with my seasonings. This is what I've discovered. Here's my tip of the best seasoning for salmon. I used to do that Creole seasoning. What's Yachi? Chiriachi's Creole season. What is it called?
Oh, I don't know, man.
You know, the one the green can.
That I use.
But now I don't. Anytime I make salmon, I just season both sides with mineral salt, nutritional yeast, and chili powder to blacken it. Those three things, I promise you, those simple three things. Put it in just a little bit of coconut oil or spray the pan or something. Mm. Put the lid on so that you don't have to use lots and lots of fats because you just want the good fats from the salmon.
Yeah, omega-3.
And I do like 4 to 6 pieces of salmon because my husband likes this the way I do it. My daughter loves it. And I have it on the fridge. Like today, I just pulled some out, heated it quickly in the pan for 30 seconds and put it on my salad. So I love this batch cooking. So you can do it with your grains. Put them in the fridge. They get resistant starch or your potatoes or your sweet potatoes or your beans. It all raises resistant starch.
And then you've got healthy options when your brain's going cray cray. Give me food now.
All I had to do today was just pull out my already lovely cooked piece of salmon, put it over my salad. You know what my salad was?
Ooh,
oh, you got to try this. I didn't have any lettuce or any spinach. I was out and I thought, oh no, I can't have a salad. I was almost crying because my salmon was there sitting there begging me to eat it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do? So I saw a big Peter Rabbit carrot.
Yeah.
Ooh. Grated that. And I had little bits of cabbage. I chopped them fine.
Oh, nice.
And then I did one tablespoon of tahini, lots of ACV, Bragg's, and cayenne pepper.
I mixed
all of that in and I flaked the salmon on top. Best salad I've ever eaten in my life.
You got to have a name for it. And I bet you it was a nice salmon with the nice color.
It was a very rich, warm orange salmon.
So it was just beautiful colors, lovely for the end of the fall.
No, that was an S meal. We're talking about ease, but it was a lovely light S meal.
No, but I love it. But you see, it's the balance that God's given us. He's given us all these food groups and I just don't want to chuck out one of them. And just to end with a script for Popsy's sake.
Okay.
2 Samuel 22:32. As for God, his way is perfect.
Yeah.
The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. So do you know what? I'm not going to the dogma and the trends. Mm. I'm going to go back to the ancient scriptures and I'm going to read what he has to say. And I'm going to rest there.
Yeah.
It'll all come out in the end.
It all comes out in the wash.
Yeah, it all comes out in the wash.
Just like the meadow.
I can just rest on the pillow of the Bible and say, he's got my back.
Yeah.
His way is flawless. It's perfect.
I know. And he created us.
Yeah.
And he created us to need glucose.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give it what we need. And we're going to find ways to, you know, be smart about it and do it in the best possible way.
Yeah.
And then we're going to thrive.
Oh, just talking about glucose real quick, just to just pump my sister. I love your apple bam cake.
Oh,
because I love our Trim Healthy. We'll change the name. Blue Butterfly Cafe.
Yeah.
Just the one down in our backyard. And I don't like to always have the heavy things when I go in. I like to have the heavy things a lot because I love Esther's cake and I just love it. But sometimes I like to balance it when I go in, even though it's my treat time. I like to even balance my treats.
I do too.
You know, I have a lot of carbs at home.
I usually get the E options when I go to the cafe.
But your apple bam cake, heat it up, Pearl, bam.
Thank you,
it's
baby.
It's delicious with a matcha latte.
Yeah.
With unsweetened coconut milk. It's an E treat. And I tell you what.
You guys, if you want a matcha latte, if you ever get to come to our cafe and you have the matcha latte, best matcha latte in the world.
Ceremonial matcha.
Do you know when you ever go to, sorry, John, we're almost done here.
Tell them to do it Pearl's way with one dunk. You say that and it will be just the way she loves it. It's perfect.
When you go to get, I don't know of any other place, maybe a couple, but anytime you get a matcha latte at any most coffee shops, they've added sugar to the matcha already.
They have the mix.
And it's very sad.
It's very rare to find a place that just has this straight powder.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you get yours done with coconut or almond milk?
I just go to our Blue Butterfly Cafe and I say, I want Pearl's matcha latte.
Yeah.
Just ask
for Pearl's matcha latte.
And then have it with a slice of Pearl's apple bam cake. Tell them to heat it up.
So
and
good.
And you will be in heaven. And you will be fueling your glucose and then your insulin.
Revving your metabolism.
In the right amounts to feed your leptin to make you a rock star of a woman thriving in your body.
I can't wait till our Blue Butterfly cafes are all over this country. People can go do that. Can you imagine how healthy they'll be? Okay, we need to be done. I can tell from John's body language is so strong and I feel it and it's right. We should stop.
And Christmas is great, John. It's great.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.